Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of June 20th, 2021. This week's sermon is by Associate Pastor Frank Donato. It's titled, Faithful Followers of Jesus.
I'm going to show you a Father's Day video, but before we start that, our text today, we're going to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and there's two words I want us to walk away with. The first word is advocate, and the second word is father. Advocate and father. And today we're going to be learning about the love that the Heavenly Father has for us on Father's Day. But fathers, we have a video for you. Take a listen here. Well, today we're going to be learning about the love of the Father. I'm stepping in for Carrie. He's ill today, and so this is going to be a quick sermon, and we get to get out early for Father's Day. Well, let's start with 1 John 1, 1 through 2, if you have your scriptures, and let's just go ahead and dive in. John here in chapter 2 says, "My dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Those two words that we're going to be looking at, advocate, Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. He starts out this letter and says, "I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin." And we learned, as he says, if anyone sins, it should be when we sin, because last week we learned that we've all sinned. Carrie shared with us in verse 18 in chapter 1, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And so we've all sinned, and we still do sin. And so I thought we'd start off this morning, turn to a neighbor and say, "You're a sinner." No, don't do that. But we all, that is the realistic view of it, is if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Did I ever tell you the story? My buddy, a couple nights ago, he called and says, "Frank, I had this dream last night. I just got to share with you. I dreamed that I died and went to heaven. And when I was in heaven, St. Peter was showing me all around the pearly gates. And then he showed me this huge warehouse. It was just huge. And the warehouse was full of clocks. And so I asked him, what does this mean, all these clocks? He says, well, that represents everyone who's still living on earth. They have an eventual clock. And every time they sin, their clock ticks. And so he thought, thinking, okay, well, I'll see what my pastors are doing at New Hope. And he said, where's David Peterson's clock? He says, well, David Peterson's clock is up here. And David Peterson's clock is going tick, tock, tick. And then he said, okay, well, where's Frank Donato's clock? I says, oh, it's kind of over here. And so Peter showed him my clock, because I'm still living on earth. And my clock's going tick, tock, tick, tock, tick. And the guy said, okay, how about Carrie Yeck? He's our senior minister. Where's his clock? I can't find it. He says, oh, Carrie's clock. We use it in the back office. We use it for a fan. See, if we claim we're without sin, we just deceive ourselves. It says, but if anyone does sin, here's the good news. If anyone in this room does sin, we have a priest. We have a friend. We have an advocate, and that's the first word. So when we sin, we have an advocate in the presence of the Father. See, Jesus is our advocate. He served as a sacrifice for our sins. He solved our sin problem that we have, and not only yours and ours, but for the whole world's. And so when we see Jesus, we see that he's an advocate with the Father. And God's called Father here two times already. If you look at chapter 1, John says, refers to God as Father two times. This is the third time in his letter that he refers to God as Father. This is a revolutionary thought. Jesus had this one-on-one relationship with God, and they were like joined at the hip all the time. And constantly, Jesus called God Father. Father, even the disciples right away noticed this. If we rewind the clock back at the beginning, when the disciples were with Jesus constantly, they noticed this unique relationship that he had with God, and they were mesmerized by it. It was, he had this relationship in a unique way. He even had unique prayers, and the disciples heard him pray. He prayed to his Father day and night, in the evenings, and all those things. See, the disciples knew how to pray, but they never knew about this kind of relationships. The disciples knew how to pray. Their reference was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes. They knew when you pray, you make it a big deal. That's what they did. When you pray, you fasted, and you put sackcloth on and ashes on your face, and you just stood on the street corners, and you were just so religious when you prayed. But something dynamic happens about Jesus. See, he had this way of praying so effortlessly and so freeing. He's had this personal relationship with God. Finally, the disciple says, Lord, teach us this. Teach us how to pray. Well, when Jesus was asked that, he didn't respond with long lectures. He just gave a simple example of how to pray. He says, when you start, you pray, Our Father. Remember that? Our Father, which art in heaven. So if you want to start learning about a relationship with God, call him Father. And that was his opening line. And we can start to see a new nature of God that we've never seen before. Our Father. So when we ask what God is like, we need to start trying to see what he's described as our Father. And we need to know who God is. And that's what the disciples were so puzzled. Why is this relationship happening, and how can I have it? I want to know God more like you do. Years ago, I was a youth minister in Montana, and we would always go to a camp called Kootenai Christian Service Camp, way up in the Rockies by Glacier National Park. And it was this beautiful lake, Kootenai Lake. It took a long ways to get there. On one side of the lake was a camp, and on the other side of the lake was this old lake resort that's been there for years called Happy Meadows Lake Resort. And every day we'd hop on the camp boat, drive, go across that lake, pull into their dock, tie up the boat, go up the hill, get the mail and get some groceries, and go back in and bring the mail back to camp. One day I said, hey, can I do the mail run? I said, yeah. Go ahead, Frank. Go ahead and hop in the boat, and you go ahead and go over to Happy Meadows. We're glad you're going to do it. But we want to tell you, when you get over there, there's a no-wake rule. That means you got to go in slow. You just don't power the boat in, and the waves start knocking all the boat rentals around. So just want to tell you, there's a no-wake rule. And if you have a wake, that owner's going to come out and start chewing you out, saying, we're just warning you. Well, I really haven't driven a boat before, and I thought it couldn't be that hard, so I had Porsche go with me. Well, about a third in the lake, a big storm just came out of nowhere. If you're familiar with the Rockies, they just suddenly appear, and all of a sudden the waves started rocking, and then white caps started to happen. And here I am going to pull into dock into Happy Meadows Camp Resort. And I came into the dock pretty hot, and I hit a boat, and the boat said Happy Meadows Camp Resort on it. And I knew I did some damage, and the first thought is, let's get out of here. But I thought, you know, I need to get out, do the responsible thing. I need to go find the owner of the boat and confess what I've done and make restitution for the damage. So I was pretty nervous. And you know, I heard the kind of person he was. I heard the rumors that he was just an old sorehead. I had just damaged his property. And Portia turns to me and says words of comfort, honey, I think he'll probably be a nice man. I think he'll understand. And I said, well, why don't you go talk to him then? Well, I began to walk off that dock across the grass up the hill. And there's a man there in a golf cart. He's taking care of the trash. He says, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I need to see the owner. I just hit his boat. He says, oh, I've done that before. When that wind kicks up from the south, it's even hard to pull in the dock. I think we need to even kind of move the dock. It just happens all the time. It's more like you slam into the dock. And he says, you know what? I know the owner. See, the owner is my father. I'm the co-owner with him in the resort. And he began to explain that he knows his dad. And he explained that he understood, and his dad will understand. And let me just talk to my dad. Everything's okay. All of a sudden, I felt so much better. I knew that something about the owner's nature. And I knew in advance that this man would be an advocate for me as he talked to the owner. And so when we start learning about God and his nature, I think, first of all, we just think of God sometimes as a grumpy old man ready to chew us out. Because the psalmist writes, "Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and down at the earth?" Sometimes we just know instinctively that we violated God's property and we've committed sin against him. And some people say, God's going to punish you for that. But Jesus is our advocate. He came to earth. He started to introduce himself as God's son. He's saying to you and I understand what it's like when you're tempted. I understand, and I'm going to be your advocate. In the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus is our advocate, that he's our high priest. It says in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." See, we can learn that Jesus is the advocate to the Father. Jesus is saying, "I've got your back." So Jesus, the Son of God, he has this relationship with the Father. And we can tell a person from a person's title a lot what he's like, can't we? I mean, if you would ask me, who is Portia Donato? Well, in my early years, when I first met her, I would say Portia was an attractive young college girl. And then Portia became my regular date. If you would ask Portia down the timeline who she is, I would say she's my fiance. And then I would say, and one time, she's my wife. And as the timeline goes, you ask me who Portia is, I would say she's my confidant. And then it would go down the line, and then Portia was a mother, and then she's my lifelong partner, and she's my boss. Well, an attractive boss, but she's still my boss. And those titles help us understand who Portia is. And it's the same way with the names of God. As we go to the Old Testament, there's lots of names for God, but never the word Father. In the Old Testament, God was initially called Elohim. The name means strong one. It means creator. Later on in the Old Testament, he's named Adonai, which means master, Lord. And then God's given the name down the timeline in the Old Testament, El Shaddai, mighty one. He's called Jehovah, the self-existent one. Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jacob came to see God as Jehovah Rapha, a caring shepherd. Gideon called him Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Moses built an altar, and he named it Jehovah Racha, the Lord who heals. Moses also called God Jehovah Nissan, the Lord is my banner. He's a signal of a place of safety. So Jesus is introduced in the New Testament in a revolutionary way. We see an intimate concept of God. And Jesus says, now, from now on, when you pray, you call him Father. You pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Did you know Jesus used that word for God in the Gospels over 200 times? Called him Father. And I think that's appropriate as we think about Father's Day. The first words from Jesus' lips is recorded when he was 12 years old. He says, "Don't you know that I should be about my Father's business?" The last words that Jesus ever spoke from his lips on the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And so Jesus is teaching us, say the word Father, pater, as it says in the Greek. It's never used in the Old Testament, so this is revolutionary. And you know what? Father is a regular family word.
It's almost as casual as dad, as papa, as abba, as daddy. So we can learn about God here this morning on Father's Day, that he is our father, and his love for us is overwhelming, isn't it? I want to share with you two stories that we can grab this concept of father and demonstrate what Jesus meant by it. The first story, Patrick Morley wrote it in his book, Man on the Mirror. He tells a story about, it was a fishing trip in Alaska on the ocean coast that went bad. They were salmon fishing in a secluded bay there on the coast. There were three men and a 12-year-old boy, and suddenly the seaplane that was going to take them back home to the town. They got on the seaplane, and the seaplane crashed just about a half mile away of taking off, and crashed just a few minutes. So the seaplane is sinking. The four people started to swim to shore. They're fighting the cold waters and hypothermia and the vicious riptide. Two of the men were strong swimmers, and they were exhausted when they met the shore. The third man, he had a 12-year-old son with him. And the son was unable to swim against the current, and the hypothermia was setting in. So the father swam back to his son, unable to pull him from safety. And the father cradled his son in his arms, and they were both swept out to sea. Well, the father, he could have made it to shore by himself, but he loved his son so much that he just decided to die and not let him be alone when they died. That's the kind of devotion Jesus is, and what he had in mind when he said, when you pray our Father. He didn't just have to die for us. He died for us so that we could live. And the second story, everyone knows it. It's the story about the prodigal son. And I want to just say, if you never heard it, just let me tell you briefly what the story is. The story goes that there's a man, he had two sons. The younger son decided that he wanted a share of his estate. He just wanted to get out of the house, and so he got his share of the estate. It made his father very sad. He went to a distant country, and there the young man squandered all of his wealth. A famine came along the land there, and the only job that he could find in that foreign country was feeding the pigs. And during that time, he was hungry, he was lonely, he longed for home, he was starving, and then it says he came to his senses. He realized that he had messed up. And then he's creating a plan. I will go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned, and I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Can you just make me a higher servant? And so he mustered up enough guts to get up and go back to his father. And the father is on the front porch, and he's seeing this on a long way his son coming, and he couldn't believe his eyes. The father saw him, and the father was filled with compassion. And the father ran to him and threw his arms around him and kissed him and put a robe on him and a ring on his finger. And then he said, this is my son. This son of mine was dead. He was lost, but now he's found. And they began to celebrate. Jesus said, you call him the name Father, and he will run to you. You know, I think that story just captures the incredible image we have of the heart of our Heavenly Father, doesn't it? How desperately he loves us and longs to embrace us as his children. Nothing brings a father more pleasure when we come to the place and we say, God, I thought I knew everything in life. I thought I knew what it meant to be happy. I thought I knew what it meant to have a fulfilling life, but I was just like chasing after the wind. The world has promised me so much, and I just always end up in emptiness and disappointment. And I think all of us in this room have a little prodigal son story in our lives that we can share. And if we're honest, the story might just describe our heart on a daily basis. So the question this morning is this. Are you experiencing the love of your Heavenly Father? Are you right now experiencing that relationship, the love of your Heavenly Father? I think a lot of struggles that we have, we just have this incorrect concept of who God is.
It prohibits us to go deeper and walk deeper with Him and experiencing His love for us because we have an incorrect view of God. I think some of us this morning might feel upset about God or that God has disappointed you for something and He feels disappointed in you for something that you've done. And maybe you think that God is just disappointed in you some way. Some of you may feel that God, He's impersonal and He's distant because you're going through some kind of pain, and maybe you think He just doesn't care anymore. Maybe some of you are going through a pain, and you just want to do better. Or you want to do better so you can see the approval of God, no matter what it is, what you feel. All those are false. God wants you to know today, your views that I just said are absolutely false of who He is. The correct view is He loves you deeper than our minds can even fathom because He is a good, good Father. So, Father, what a privilege. In the Old Testament, You were called Adonai, Jehovah Rapha. But today, we get to call You Father. Us, thank You that You're always there. You're never giving up on us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of You. But Lord, we just thank You for Your overwhelming love. And we thank You for the advocate, Jesus Christ. So we're here today to worship the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Father, just thank You for pausing us. And us kids down here, that You still love us and You always will. And Father, just thank You for who You are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.